I would see this coming in more as a like an oh shit card, a big old shit button. This cleric gets surrounded.
Big old shit button.
And then holds
button.
Their sword. Yeah. Like, oh shit, I need help. Slap the button.
And is then, it covered yeah. in shit?
No, that's kind of gross. Okay. That wouldn't be a helpful button. Well, it's to get you out of shit. It does not bring shit in. Welcome to Monsters and Multiclass, your Dungeons & Dragons fix. I'm Kevin Odey.
I'm Jared Bornigal.
And I'm Will Meldon.
And we'll be hanging out with you for a while to talk about anything and everything D&D related. On this episode, we are taking a quick look at the optional class features for clerics, and then the bulk of the episode will be on the Order Domain added in Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. The optional class features also part of Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. So, let's dive into it. Forgot that. In our head, it's obvious. Like, of course we're doing Tasha's, but, you know, people don't know our recording schedule, so.
And shame on them for that. So... As Kevin said, we're going to start off with the optional class features. So just a couple of things added in for clerics, starting off with some new spells, or at least new spells that they have access to. Looking at really just the bulk of them start off as auras, things that paladins normally get, spells that paladins are normally the only ones who get, and it looks like they open that up a little bit. So at third level, they get Aura of Vitality, and then Spirit Shroud, which is a brand new spell in Tasha's. Then at fourth level, Aura of Life and Aura of Purity. Again, used to be only paladins who could get that, maybe aside from a couple of oddities here and there. Fifth level, Summon Celestial. Sixth level, Sunbeam. Eighth level, Sunburst. And ninth level, Power Word Heal. Which is, like, really weird that that wasn't already a cleric spell.
Mm-hmm. It's just Bard.
Yeah. That's the only one who gets
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
And
interesting.
Bards don't even get... Well, I might be wrong here, but I don't think they get too many healing spells otherwise. It just seems out of nowhere, yeah. Where it's like, yeah, that's the bard spell. Clerics don't deserve power word heal. They get enough.
Right. Yeah, ninth level spell, one action, it regains all, creature regains all hit points and cured of basically any, most conditions.
You're right.
It's just not very good.
It's not amazing.
Not for ninth level.
They don't need it, and I think that's a fair way of putting it, because there's the seventh level heal spell, I believe, that does just about all of this anyways.
Yeah, I think it's like 70
hit points. And the
ninth
level mass heal.
Which they do get.
Which is 700 hit points. So
right.
Your full res, it just doesn't stand up.
Yeah, I guess it was one of those where they're like, well, there's no reason for them not to have it, so we'll go ahead and put it on their list. But yeah, you're probably going to take mass heal.
These are also ninth level spells, not coming online until 17th level.
Right.
At the earliest, so it's...
Which is why I was glad that they put on the Aura of Life and Aura of Purity, those fourth level spells, because those, again, used to be locked to paladins, and you just wouldn't see them, because paladins have a hard time concentrating on spells. It's not their main focus. They generally don't get up to the point that they have fourth level spells. And putting these on cleric seems like a perfectly good spot for them. And they're not bad spells. They might be a little bit situational, but now the situation might actually be able to have an answer to it.
Right. For sure. And Aura Vitality, I like. And I did not realize until I saw it on this list that clerics did not get that. That's the one. Within 30 feet of you, you have this up for a minute. And then as a bonus action, you can have a creature, including yourself, regain 2d6 hit points. You just do that every turn for a minute.
Yeah, and it sounds really strong. It is really strong, actually. But I think the fact that it's concentration and that clerics are going to be really fighting with what they're concentrating on most of the time anyways, the only reason why I might not like this being on the cleric list is it's a little bit broken out of combat. A little bit. A third level spell that over the course of a minute you can... basically give out 20d6 HP. That's really strong for out of combat healing. But
yeah,
I think if I've figured out anything when it comes to D&D 5e, this is the one thing I know, is that the designers don't really care about out of combat healing. You know, between short rest dice are almost never fully used. And as we've said before, if you have 10 minutes, you have an hour most of the time when it comes to D&D as a whole in normal adventures. So it's strong, probably not the end of the world, but it always leaves a weird feeling in my stomach.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, then you got the, it was a ranger spell, and I think druids get a healing spirit, I think.
Correct.
It's one where you have to pass through a space, so yeah, and you can like conga line and just like walk in a circle and get a whole bunch of healing back for a large amount of people.
I think they put something, they eroded that one a little bit, so it's only like once per turn or something, because before it was
after healing the number of times up to your spell modifier.
Oh, wow, that's away. A really big nerf. So you're saying like it could only heal up to, if you have like 20 wisdom,
the
it could only heal
can
five
heal,
times.
One plus the spellcasting ability modifier. So let's be generous and call it six.
Sure.
That's
so it could heal six
a lot
times.
Different than hundreds of D6s.
Yeah.
Literally raining D6s in healing. Then as for the stuff like the Sunbeam and Sunburst, definitely interesting. I have no issues with those being cleric spells. I don't think that clerics were having a hard time finding damage spells at higher levels. So to me, it just doesn't matter. It's not bad. It's not good. I know Sunbeam's a cool spell. You got to use it the other day, Will.
Yeah, it's a great spell. I kind of disagree. Clerics don't have the greatest selection. These are reasonable additions to it. I think they actually fit better as like a light cleric. It would make a lot of sense for these to be there, but because the specific spell lists are lower level, you never get to see this stuff. So this is kind of like a happy in between.
Yeah, I just had to double check. It's like, do light clerics get this? They do not get Sunbeam or Sunburst. No, that's reasonable. Say, I guess it's anything's better than Fire Strike.
Flame Strike,
Fire Strike, whatever. Same thing.
Yeah.
So that is it for the spells, unless you guys had anything else to add. Okay, moving on to their second level optional feature, Harness Divine Power. So, you can expend a use of your channel divinity to fuel your spells. As a bonus action, you touch your holy symbol, utter a prayer, and regain one expended spell slot, the level of which can be no higher than half your proficiency bonus, rounded up. The number of times you can use this feature is based on the level you've reached in this class. Second level once, sixth level twice, 18th level thrice, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest.
Yeah, so paladins get this exact same thing.
Correct.
On paladins, I felt it was like a little unnecessary because they're already really strong and a little broken. I like it on clerics.
Like, so we've been kind of using this when a UA, I think at this point now 2 years ago almost, came out a year and a half ago. That was basically you can use your channel divinity as a bonus action and regain a first level spell. And we've been using that in our campaign basically since it came out. And I've liked that. I felt like it was a good amount of power. This is that, but a little bit stronger because you're going to have second level spells for most of the time. Once your proficiency bonus goes up to 3, which is at 5th level, you'll be getting second levels and same deal. Expend your channel divinities, which come back on a short rest, I believe, for clerics.
Yeah, and they end up getting 2 of them.
Personally?
Pretty early on, or maybe even immediately.
Channel divinities, they get it at 6th level, they get a second one.
A second one, okay.
Yeah, where it says 2nd level once, 6th level twice, and 18th level thrice, that's when they get their channel divinities.
Oh, okay.
So that's actually really pointless to put
makes
in
sense.
There. Oh, wait a second. No, it's not, because that's per long rest. So you can only do it 3 times per long rest, even if you're taking like 16 short rests.
Got it. Makes sense.
Okay.
Safety guard on it.
Well, all right. I take back my feelings. I was going to say this is like way stronger than it needs to be, but the fact that it is limited by that per long rest, that's not that bad.
Yeah. So once for like a good chunk of the game, once per long rest, they could get a first or second level spell slot back. Then it goes up to twice per long rest, a second and third. And I mean, it never goes above third.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah, I didn't like it on paladins because paladins are so good in combat with heavy armor and hitting and smiting and stuff like that, where their kind of limiting thing was spell slots. Like, they're half casters. They need to really manage their spell slots, and then this like really opened it up for them. Clerics are
casters, they're full casters. And yeah, based on the subclass, you might do some other stuff. But at the end of the day, that's their main play style is casting. And so then just giving them a little bump to that feels right. It doesn't feel too over the top.
And I would also argue that it helps out on the cleric subclasses with bad channel divinities, like the trickster domain, one that you just aren't going to use that often. This makes it a little less painful to have that bad channel divinity to say, well, at least I can get some spell slots back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, or if you're about to take a short rest, and even if you have a good one, you're about to take a short rest, you haven't used it yet, do this to get some spell slot back, so take a short rest.
Yeah. Yeah, the only, like, just issue I have with this in general is the fact that it steps on that wizard feature, because I always felt like wizards were supposed to be the ones who could just cast all day. I mean, that was the point of them. They had arcane recovery. Arcane recovery is still better than this. I think that's once per long rest on a short rest, you can recover half of your wizard level in spell slots. So that's not limited to like
that much.
Yes.
Okay.
Half your wizard level. So if you're like 10th level, you can recover a 5th level spell slot or two second level spell slots and a first level. So that one's like so much more versatile that it's still the best when it comes to having spell slots all day. I don't know. I guess there's not much more to say about it. It's pretty good. It's nothing crazy. I'm all right with clerics having it. Still don't like paladins having it.
Yep.
Then we get, at 4th level, cantrip versatility. So they can replace some cantrips when they hit ability score increase levels. 4th, 8th, 12th, 16th, and 19th. So, cool. Again, that's not one that's... It's codifying it. We've talked about it so many times.
I was going to say, go back and watch any video we've done that has optional class features. Every single one has something like this. We've said our opinion. So, yeah, it's codifying. It's fine. Most DMs are lenient about this stuff anyways.
Do you want to link a video anyways?
Just all of them.
Right. I was saying, it would be the exact same reaction every time.
Tosh's video.
Since the first one we've done, it's literally been, that's there. Let's move on.
Yeah.
8th level, though, we get Blessed Strikes. So this replaces the Divine Strike or Potent Spellcasting features. You are blessed.
Oh, I missed that. That makes so much more sense. I was really confused by this.
So you are blessed with Divine Might in battle. When a creature takes damage from one of your cantrips or weapon attacks, you can deal 1d8 radiant damage to that creature. Once you deal this damage, you can't use this feature again until the start of your next turn. So personally, I don't like this, because right now, we've talked about it before, where clerics, 8th level, either Divine Strike or Potent Spellcasting, is really kind of telling you how this subclass is played, and this just takes away any of the uniqueness, and I feel like everyone's just going to end up always using Blessed Strikes and always just taking the extra 1d8 radiant damage on cantrips, and it just removes the... I think what made the heavy armored clerics feel so brawly and unique, it's just saying, no, okay, now you can still have your heavy armor, but you're going to be casting cantrips, because cantrips are better than melee in like 90% of situations.
If you just have one attack, yeah.
Right.
Because you're not getting the, additional bonuses. Yeah. Yeah, my initial read, I missed that and replaced it, so I thought this was like another addition to it. I was like, that's really weird.
Right, like everybody was sitting here just like, clerics just don't get enough damage. Just, they're not good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feels unnecessary to wipe that away and just say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your subclass, your playstyle. You could add it to melee or...
And you don't even have to choose. This is literally giving you the option for it to be either one. At any time, so if you think that now melee's better, great, then you still get the 1d8. If you think the cantrip's better, great, you still get the 1d8. It's almost too much freedom for just clerics across the board.
Right, so potent spellcasting is your wisdom modifier to cantrips. It's a little different.
That's right, that's true.
Then Divine Strike, that's 1d8 and then like a type of damage, like Forge does fire and stuff like that. And Divine Strike also goes up to 2d8 at 14th. Yeah, I think I would just skip this optional one.
Say that one more time, Kevin.
I think I would just skip this one. Like, if I was playing a cleric, I think I would skip this optional feature here and just go with whatever the subclass gives me. Consistency of... And then again, I mean, it is better to just have the option.
Well, if it makes you feel better, Kevin, I will take away your any chance you have to debate it. I don't think I'd let this fly at our table unless somebody really felt like it was necessary and they wanted to fight me on it. It's just it's not doing anything that's helpful. It's not like taking a feature that we've all been like, wow, this sucks. This has always been limiting, and now it opens it wide up. It just takes away anything interesting about that subclass, I feel.
Right.
But again, if in like 2 years you want to play a cleric and this is really important to your build, I'm sure we'll talk about it.
Right.
And that's it. That's all of the optional features.
So nothing major. I don't think clerics needed any major overhaul anyways. So
no, they could have had zero optional features aside from that cantrip versatility. And I don't really think I'd have fought it too much. But I have been enjoying just the using your channel divinity to get a spell slot back.
Yeah.
So don't mind that one. So now we get into why you're all really here. Unless you really wanted to hear about optional features, but that's besides the point. Let's talk about the order domain. So the order domain is your... what's the word I'm looking for? It's your adherence to the law taken to the extreme. The order domain, of course, is going to follow a god of order, and it goes in to say that they believe in well-crafted laws establishing legitimate hierarchies, and because of that, laws need to be followed. And it does put on a nice little, you know, stipulation at the end there that if they notice corruption or somebody who's failing to protect the law, then it gives them the agency to replace those in power. But the overall idea is this is going to be the stick in the mud in your chaotic neutral party, who is constantly telling the rogue to stop stealing and, you know, the sorcerer to stop sorcering.
Blowing stuff up.
Yeah, blowing stuff up.
I think the last sentence in their flavor text sums them up really well. In this manner, law weaves a web of obligations that create order and security in a chaotic multiverse. That's like their core belief.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'm honestly a pretty big fan of any time you take a concept and like put it to the extreme, which this is. This is the extreme of law. It makes it interesting because you have to think of ways that you can justify being within the law, but not being a jerk about it all the time and being like somebody that the party wants to be around.
Right.
And you don't need to do, if you're a DM and you're making like an NPC, you don't have to do that. You can make this a bad guy. Like if somebody who's so adherent to the law that it's become a problem, that's cool. And like a very good villain potentially. But as a player mm-hmm. character, it can be pretty interesting.
Like Futurama's Santa Claus.
Yes.
That's the exact character I was thinking when I read this first. Not Judge Dredd, not like a Warhammer 40K. Futurama Santa Claus.
Yes. Robotic Santa Claus who got a naughty and nice prayer and has got programmed too high and judges harshly and then hands out punishment in the form of violence.
You know, it's the logical conclusion of Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So going into some of the mechanics here, we get some domain spells. And on that list, going through it quickly, at first level we get Command and Heroism, third level Hold Person and Zone of Truth, fifth level Mass Healing Word and Slow, seventh Compulsion and Locate Creature, and ninth level is Commune and Dominate Person. So a reminder on clerics, this means that they always have these spells prepared. They don't need to be a part of their normal cleric list or anything like that. It doesn't count against their prepared spells. They just always have these ones prepared.
I have no super strong feelings on this. Command is can be a good spell in the right situations. Needing someone to freeze who's running away, drop something, stuff like that. It's just a one action thing. Or it just uses the reaction, right?
They, like, do they have to use their reaction, are you saying? They yeah. use their next action to do your command.
Right, okay. You know, a hold person is one where it always sounds really like a really good spell, but I feel like it always falls short because it's just humanoids, which is very limiting. And a lot of times it just, yeah, you get it off once and nobody's there to hit, and then they pass their save. And
yeah, it's kind of situational. Yeah. I think it's over the course of a campaign that has a lot of human enemies, it's pretty good. But most D&D campaigns, you fight dragons and you fight dungeons, and that's about it. And those aren't humanoids.
No, they are not.
Zone of Truth, it's like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. It's on the list. But I don't think that spell ever gets use anymore at our tables.
It's one of those spells that it's like, let's go to the inn. I'll prepare it tomorrow. This will be useful.
Right.
You get to save one fake in night if you have it already prepared.
You get to save a time skip. Hooray.
Yeah.
Right, 'cause it's already on the cleric list. So.
Right. I do very much so like the spell Slow. And that's... Yeah. That can't be upcast, though. Oh, that's right. It doesn't need to be. You alter time around up to 6 creatures of your choice within a 40-foot cube within range. So that's, yeah, Slow's a great spell. Never mind. Just -2 to AC and to dexterity saving throws. They can't use reactions, and they can either use an action or a bonus action, not both. So, yeah, that's honestly a fantastic spell.
And they can't make more than one attack during the turn either.
Right. And what is this? If the creature attempts to cast a spell with a casting time of one action, roll a d20. On an 11 or higher, the spell doesn't take effect until the creature's next turn. I mean, this just, like, flips the action economy on its head.
Mm-hmm.
In a very similar way that, like, Hypnotic Pattern does. But Slow, I guess, is more interesting to me.
Yeah, I get that. Slow is a great spell. Good debuff. I assume they get to make a save every turn.
Yeah, whereas Hypnotic Pattern, they don't. So Hypnotic Pattern, right. I think, really wins out. The only difference is that this can be cast, like, on your immediate area. You can choose 6 creatures around you. Hypnotic Pattern is like, okay, great, they're all grouped up. I'm within range. The stars have aligned. This one's more just fire and forget.
Right.
And then, yeah, I mean, just going up through the rest, I don't see much that really stands out to me as anything too amazing. I mean, Commune is a good spell at 5th level, but it's one you can prepare anyways. So why does it need to be always prepared?
Right. Dominate Person could be a good spell. Not quite as good as Dominate Monster, but, you know, same sort of situation as...
Yeah, it gets person. Even harder for this because I don't think Hold Person requires them to be charmed. Yeah, it does not charm them. Dominate Person charms, and as you get higher up in the levels, there's a lot of things immune to charm.
Right.
Just all elves, right? Are elves immune to charm or resistant?
No, I don't think so.
I think it's just resistant.
That's sleep, bro.
Sleep. Yeah, they can't be put to sleep.
So they're immune to sleep. They're resistant to charm.
I'm not sure.
Well, now I'm going to look it up. Fey Ancestry. You have advantage on saving throws against being charmed, and magic can't put you to sleep.
Okay.
I did it. I looked it up. All
Good
right.
job.
So, getting into their leveled features, bonus proficiencies at 1st level. They gain proficiency with heavy armor, and they also gain proficiency in intimidation or persuasion. So, heavy armor.
Heavy armor is always nice. Yeah. Intimidation or persuasion, is he making sense with this? Be able to kind of coerce people into your view of order.
Yeah, this one, those skills always do become a little bit difficult, though, for non-faces, because they are modified by charisma, and your bard's mm-hmm. always going to have persuasion, if you have a bard, and they're going to have, you know, plus 10 to it or something crazy, and you being the little cleric with maybe plus 1 to your charisma and proficiency in it might have plus 4. So it's like cool when it comes up and works out, but it's not always going to. And you're usually better off if you can plan this out beforehand, having the person who is good in these situations handle it. So next up, Voice of Authority. Another first level feature. You can invoke the power of law to embolden an ally to attack. If you cast a spell with a spell slot of first level or higher and target an ally with the spell, that ally can use the reaction immediately after the spell to make one weapon attack against a creature of your choice that you can see. If the spell targets more than one ally, you choose the ally who can make the attack. So just to give a real world scenario, you cast Bless, you put it on four people, you say Barbarian gets to use their reaction to attack, and then they do so.
So before we get into mechanics, flavor, it doesn't quite feel like it fits to me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like a leadership thing, or like a leadership ability, which isn't directly right. Order. Unless it's establishing that this cleric is indeed the boss of the party.
Right, but nothing about the flavor says that. It's just like they want to fight to keep logic in order. But then the mechanics and like getting intimidation and persuasion and command and compulsion kind of are leaning towards that. More like, yeah, they're the boss.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure if I could think of something better or a way to rework it to have it fit the flavor more, but I get what you're saying. It doesn't completely hit the mark in that regard.
But being able to give an ally a free attack is obviously great.
No limit on it per day either.
No. It's just limited by it has to be a first level higher spell that targets an ally. So right. If you're casting stuff like Spirit Guardians or whatever and different things like that, nothing's happening. A lot of times if you're healing, unless you're a life cleric, you're not doing it in combat. It's more afterwards to like kind of help get people back up and things like that. And then it doesn't really matter. So I can see like starting out, getting Bless, giving someone a free attack.
That works out well. And if Bless drops, I mean, concentration's a thing. So you might need to recast spells. Now, just out of curiosity, how would this interaction work? Somebody goes down and then you get them back up with, you know, cure wounds or whatever. When they come back, do they immediately have the reaction or do they not gain their reaction until their turn starts?
I think they would have it.
Okay, so you could, you know, get somebody back up and they get to make an attack, probably at disadvantage because they're prone.
Right.
Unless you have something else going on. But that could be nice, I guess. Sometimes when you're dead and you get health, you want to just lay low, though. So you're like,
right.
Like, don't look at me. I'm not a threat.
Right.
But interesting interaction, at least.
Yeah. I just think it's a little too situational. I think it's not going to come up a ton. And then I'm not saying it never will, and it's nice when it will. But a lot of times when we've had a cleric in every campaign for a while now, and the spells cast are more battlefield control stuff, AoE damage, and then the occasional thing on an ally.
I'm not sure. I think this would actually put you in a position where you are going out of your way to get this off with certain characters. Rogues and paladins are perfect examples of this.
That's true. Yeah.
A healing word is not that good if somebody's not on the ground. But it is if you can get a smite or a sneak attack out of it.
Right. I forgot about bonus action spells.
That's a really good
healing
point.
Word. Yeah. Bonus action healing word somebody. Okay.
Right. And you can be a little more loosey-goosey with your spells as well because you're getting some back with that channel divinity ability if you're taking that optional feature.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Their channel divinity is not the best.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's up next. Good segue, Will. So at second level, they get the Order's Demand channel divinity. So you can use your channel divinity to exert an intimidating presence over others. As an action, you present your holy symbol, and each creature of your choice that you can see or hear you within 30 feet of you must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or be charmed by you until the end of your next turn or until the charmed creature takes any damage. You can also cause any of the charmed creatures to drop what they are holding when they fail their saving throw. So you're saying this isn't very good, Will?
No, I'm saying that it's not the best.
It's not. It's okay. Okay. Sure, it's not the best. I think the disarming of everybody around, this overall is a class that works really well against humanoids and not great against beasts. So I don't know if that's something to consider depending on the campaign you're going into. There's still a lot of creatures that are not humanoids that this would be good on. Like, I don't know, just devils, I guess. They have weapons most of the time. So great. It's going to be good against them.
Undead and things like that.
Sure. But I'm not worried so much about disarming the skeleton, I guess.
And I don't think they can be charmed either.
Yeah, that was...
probably not, yeah.
Good point. But disarming everybody within a 30-foot radius, well, everybody who fails the wisdom saving throw, yeah. I mean...
is that great? It's a free action to just pick your weapon back up.
It's depending on the action economy, which is, or not the action economy, the initiative order, which is never a good answer. Never a good answer because, yes,
right.
The paladin or whoever, I don't know, your frontliners could pick up the weapons, I guess, as their free action and say, no, I've got it. You've got no weapon now. And then that NPC is screwed. Okay, that's cool. Even if you get that on like one or two people, I guess it works out well.
Yeah, I mean, you could, like, yeah, kick it away. I would see this coming in more as a, like, an oh shit card, a big old shit button. This cleric gets surrounded.
Big old shit button.
And then holds their sword. Yeah. Like, oh shit, I need help. Slap the button.
Is it covered in shit?
No, that's kind of gross. Okay. That wouldn't be a helpful button. Well, it's to get you out of shit. It does not bring shit in.
Gotcha. Okay, the clarification was necessary. Yeah,
danger situation, surrounded around, and they throw their sword into the air, and it glows a bright white light, and all of the creatures kind of get stunned and charmed for a minute and drop what they're holding, and now the cleric can just walk away, because if they are charmed, they can't attack the cleric. Yeah, so you don't have to... then again, they can also just disengage. And not rely on a save.
Wow, that's a major wrench in this one, isn't it? They could just disengage.
Yeah, so just to clarify, because we haven't specifically said it, if a creature is charmed, a charmed creature can't attack the charmer or target the charmer with harmful abilities or magical effects, and then the charmer has advantage on ability checks to interact socially with the creature. Specifically with this one, it is for one round until the end of your next turn, or until they take damage. So it's basically 6 seconds. I guess if you do it at the beginning, technically, you'd have 12 seconds. But so you're not going to use this to charm someone in a social situation to try and convince them of something, because it's just going to wear off.
Yeah, that would be too short. I was going to say that would be kind of cool if you were doing like a... the only way I could see using it in a non-combat situation, which has come up in our campaign, so I can say this, is if you need to quickly convince a crowd of something. If you're like in a crowd of rioting peasants, let's say, and you use this, it's like a good way to get everybody's attention. And you just say, hey, stop what you're doing. And, you know, you get advantage on that persuasion or intimidation roll.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I like that.
Hostage situations.
Sure. Hostage situations. Yeah. Quickly charm them. Now, it would be nice if it was like... well, this would be really, really strong, but if it was charmed against, you know, creatures you chose, that'd be great, because then they couldn't attack you or your allies, but that's very strong.
Yeah, so there's definitely uses for it.
But you are correct, Will, in saying that it's not the most amazing one ever. If you could combine it, though, with, let's say, frightening them in some way... then this becomes really, really strong against humanoids if they have to drop their weapons and run away. So might be good, just some party synergy if you've got somebody who can cast fear or, I don't know, there's
I think fear already makes them drop what they're holding. You know, the frightened condition doesn't make them run away, but the fear spell does. And I think part of fear spell is drop what you're holding and run away.
Compulsion, which we briefly talked about, is another good synergy here. Because they auto-fail it on if they're charmed.
Compulsion. Oh, well, while you're looking that up, I will say I looked up fear. You do not drop what you're holding.
Yes, you do. The fear spell.
Each creature in a 30-foot cone must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or drop whatever it's holding and become frightened.
You're right, sorry.
Then the fear spell is unique. While frightened in this way, they must dash away and things like that. Did you look up the condition?
Of frightened?
Or did you just not read it? Yeah.
Oh, no, I just misread it.
Okay. Classic us.
Yeah.
So compulsion will make them move. So you do have that in your repertoire.
And so since it lasts until the end of your next turn, you do have the chance to get a spell off.
That's true, yeah.
But by sixth level.
Is that you trying to segue into the next one?
Kind of.
Okay. Well, before we do that, I'll just say to anybody who is listening, if there is a combination for that channel divinity to work really, really well, like a follow-up spell that makes it awesome, let us know wherever you can let us know, Twitter, Reddit, all of those places, because I'm really curious on that one.
Comments.
Yeah, YouTube comments, that's right. I actually do read those to the detriment of my mental health. Embodiment of Law at sixth level is you have become remarkably adept at channeling magical energy to compel others. If you cast a spell of the enchantment school using a spell slot of first level or higher, you can change the spell's casting time to one bonus action for this casting, provided the spell's casting time is normally one action. And you can use this feature a number of times equal to your wisdom modifier and regain all expended uses of it when you finish a long rest. Really quick thing about this, surprised it's not proficiency bonus, because that seems to be the go-to in Tasha's. They actually brought back the main ability stat.
I didn't realize this my first read through. A whole bunch of their domain spells are enchantment.
Yes.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah, so casting command as a bonus action, which is a really low level spell. They're already charmed. Right. So charm doesn't do anything around saving, like failing your... Oh, wait. Can't attack the charmer or target the creature with harmful... Yeah, okay. So you don't get like advantage on spell saves against them or something. No. Or they don't get disadvantage on spell saves.
There are spells where you auto fail if you're charmed or abilities that are out there. I'm blanking on them. There's not like a good way to just look that up. So, but like bless is enchantment. A bonus action bless. At the start of combat, amazing.
Oh, that's enchantment. That's really hard.
That's hard to pass up. Command, as you said.
Just
motions. Hold person even becomes more viable as a bonus action instead of a full action.
Yeah. To add on to command a little bit, that's a first level spell. If you upcast it, you can target multiple creatures. So if you, stop five creatures around, have them all drop their weapons, and then... You have them flee. That's a combination to get them to run away. Now, that said, a third level fear spell is also doing that. So maybe not necessary.
And that's two fail saves versus one.
Correct. Yeah. So fear in general, fear is better. The only thing that makes this potentially better is you don't make a cone. Fear is like a cone that you do. So you can potentially get allies and whatnot.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, just a quickened spell five times a day.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, putting on enchantment limits it a little bit, but I think that's very necessary to stop this from getting nuts.
How slow is transmutation?
Yeah, then commune, or no, dominate person's enchantment. And then compulsion. In terms of their base list, there's not a whole lot, actually, but there is enough.
Yeah, there's enough on here that I'm not worried about it.
Right.
Zone of Truth as a bonus action? I mean, come on, guys. You need it. You need it.
They never see it coming.
In the middle of a fight, just boom, pop up that Zone of Truth. Don't you dare tell me lies. And then they say nothing the rest of the combat. So, anything else around that one?
No.
Okay. Any quips? You guys got any quips that you've got stored up? Pre-written quips. Ones? No?
That's not our style.
It's not your style, Kevin. I've been lying to everybody for years. At just eighth pre-writing level...
Pre-writing jokes.
Yeah. Eighth level, we get Divine Strike. So I guess we kind of talked about this one with the optional feature. But for this, it is infusing your weapon strikes with divine energy. Once on each of your turns, when you hit a creature with a weapon attack, you can cause the attack to deal an extra 1d8 psychic damage to the target. And when you reach 14th level, the extra damage increases to 2d8. So this is pretty obvious. They get heavy armor. This is a melee-based cleric. The psychic damage is kind of cool. It makes sense with the subclass. Hurt your brain?
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's all clerics get this or the potent spell casting. This one definitely makes sense to me for more melee.
So just to check on that, back to the optional class feature, would that damage go up by a d8 at 14th level?
No.
Okay. So yeah, really,
that's the only disadvantage.
Yeah. Okay. Then yeah, nothing else on Divine Strike. It's good.
I just realized what the order domain I think is supposed to be.
Oh,
they're cops.
They're just cops.
They're Judge Dredd, bro.
They're like cops or bounty hunters, that sort of thing. Look at the art for him.
He's got the sheriff's shield
on the screen. Yeah, got the sheriff's shield. And there's literally a wanted poster tacked to the front of his shield. And then they get intimidation and persuasion and like command and things like that. Embodiment of the Law is the 6th level ability's name.
Wow.
We just kind of glossed over that.
Literally Judge Dredd's like line. I am the law.
Okay. I've never actually seen that.
It's on my Everybody list. Needs to watch that movie. It's one of those like slept on ones. They think it's RoboCop, like the remake, and it's going to be garbage. It's not. It's great and you should watch it.
It's on the list.
Is that an order?
That's an order. I am the law.
Yeah, first level ability, voice of authority. Yeah, we were being kind of dumb about not picking up on this. That's the intent. Their flavor text doesn't quite seem to fit that, though. But
no, because when I think of a cop, I don't really think of them adhering to the law. There you go.
That might be our demographic and political leanings coming out. But.
So, no, that makes sense, though. And next, last, we get to Order's Wrath, their 17th level feature. Enemies you designate for destruction wilt under the combined efforts of you and your allies. If you deal your divine strike damage to a creature on your turn, you can curse that creature until the start of your next turn. The next time one of your allies hits the cursed creatures with an attack, the target also takes 2d8 psychic damage and the curse ends. You can curse a creature in this way only once per turn. So I do like that this gives you a reason to be melee attacking. I feel like a lot of times those divine strikes can just not be used because, you know, cantrip outweighs them. This definitely is outweighing any cantrips between doing 2d8 damage when you hit them and an extra 2d8 damage on the next enemy's attack. Or sorry, next attack your allies make.
Right.
That's pretty good.
Right, no limit on it, anything like that. 17th level feels kind of late.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's any earlier wouldn't really make sense, because obviously it has to be, okay, it doesn't have to be after Divine Strike, but.
So, let me throw this at you. Tasha's has definitely taken to the point where it's got a lot of established norms in subclasses and has been tweaking them a little bit, which I think has been good. How would you feel, this goes to both of you, not just to Kevin Will, so feel free to chime in, if their Divine Strike, instead of adding damage to their attack, did what this Order's Wrath did, where you, and it, just the 1d8 damage, you know, kept it in line, where for Divine Strike, when you hit an enemy with an attack, your ally's next attack does an additional d8. And, you know, call it Order's Wrath, whatever, I don't know, but that idea of taking the damage away from your strike and making yours a little bit weaker to make your allies maybe a little bit stronger next time, I feel like that to me is, it's good flavor, but isn't changing the damage output in any way.
I think that's too much of a nerf. I like the concept of it, but I think the damage you would need to go up, either make it like a d10 or a d12 or just keep it as 2d8, because it is a penalty. Because now you need two people being able to hit the target, which may not happen.
Sure.
You know, and you compare it to the power level of other clerics. So if you can make it, it's a lot more interesting. I like it. It's just, yeah, I think the damage that your ally would do would need to be higher than just a D8. There needs to be a benefit to it.
Sure. So I could, I'm trying to think of like how that could work out. But I guess regardless of the exact way that it would land, I would really want to see something like that with this class. It feels like this Divine Strike and then Order's Wrath, just, it felt like a very safe progression. And I wish there was something a little more creative with the Divine Strike, which I don't think we'll see on any of the cleric subclasses upcoming either. But Divine Strike has been just a little bit too dull for too long. And I would like to see them shake it up a bit there.
At this point, it's too entrenched in the class to really do that, though. I think that I like what you're going with, but it just, you now have one cleric that's sticking out like a sore thumb. Like, this is the one difference in the class.
Okay, and when Spore Druid was released, that completely changed up how you used Wild Shape. And that was a good thing. That was a great thing.
Kind of. Because there was good Wild Shape, dog shit Wild Shape, and now Spore Wild Shape. And now there's Fire Wild Shape. So it was like a pattern.
I'm going to say, yeah, the different... Exactly.
This
Spore Druid started it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, at some
but
point,
but the prior, there were two instances: worthless Wild Shape and overpowered Wild Shape.
But it didn't change fundamentally how Wild Shape was used. It just powered it up.
You turned
with one
into
subclass.
An animal, yeah. And then if you're Moon Druid, you could turn into a stronger animal,
which is like kind of understating.
It is. It is a little bit because Moon Druid.
Do you want to be an Earth Elemental or a regular Badger? Well, I guess the Badger would be useful now. 10-foot burrow speed?
Don't see how we could match that as an Earth Elemental. But no, I entirely stand by what I'm saying. And thank you, Will, for trying to go against it, but instead emboldening my point, is that at some point you need to break against the mold. In
the
order
point
to...
is when there's two examples, not when there are 12.
Sure. Sure, but that's just because clerics have an absurd amount of subclasses for some reason. But
they do. It's so much.
Wizards
they also
get
got
the
most
treatment.
In Tasha's. There's three clerics of new subclasses in Tasha's. None of these are even reprints. I had to double check. I was like, sure, one of these was a reprint. Nope.
Nope. So, yeah, I stand by what I say. Divine Strike needs a bit of shaking up, and let's open the door to that being... just something else. I mean, really, the idea of having this be... It's really not a huge buffing class. I think Peace Domain, which we'll talk about next episode, is much more focused on being a pure buffing class, and maybe that could fall under the same category of letting an ally do this extra damage or something. But let's shake it up. And Order's Wrath, going back to that, it's pretty good. 17th level is just... It's not that impressive to get 2d8 psychic damage, though.
No, not 17th.
And I don't even think the damage would crit, because it says the target also takes 2d8 psychic damage. So that also means that it's separate from the triggering damage?
I think so.
So if you want to correct us on that, again, every place you can comment.
You just need to start putting it in there in parentheses, crits or does not crit.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
But that won't happen.
They can't do it. They're literally incapable of that. It would be too clear.
So that's it for mechanics. Any closing thoughts on the Order Domain?
Overall, I do like it. I think it would be interesting to play. It has a lot of neat interactions with the party, with like getting them to attack and different things like that. The bonus action, the quicken enchantment spells is amazing.
Yeah.
Solid cleric.
Yeah. And I think I'd like to potentially play this class in a campaign that had really well-established political structures, because it could be very fun to explore that idea of finding corruption in the government, we'll say, or whatever political structure there is, and having this cleric maybe be a part of that corrupt organization and needing to realize and root out the corruption within, or choosing right. to abandon it altogether. That, oh, that wasn't actually the order I was looking for, I guess. Otherwise, I could see this kind of falling flat from a role-playing perspective if you didn't have something like really pushing you into that like challenging of your concept of law. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I could get bored of this after a couple of weeks of playing.
Like, I feel like this covers a third of Paladins ever created.
Yeah, it does.
Which, and I would argue, don't role play very well.
We've talked about this before. Your disdain
lawful
for Paladins.
Stupid.
Lawful stupid. Lawful stupid. I like that.
Yeah. That was not me. That's been around forever on the internet.
Oh, I haven't heard it, so yeah. I can still find yeah. it funny.
Lawful sure. chaotic sure, stupid are the two sides of the coin.
Yeah.
That Kevin invented.
The first coin ever invented by Kevin.
No one will know what that is.
Will, any final thoughts on this? Kevin did.
No, I had more to say. Yeah, I could see kind of groaning and rolled my eyes at myself trying to roleplay this after a couple weeks. Early on, like the strict unmoving adherence to the law is written. Could be like kind of a fun thing, but over a long campaign, like I would think everyone would get very tired of playing with this character, and like I would get tired of playing with myself.
Big old
yeah, those are my thoughts too. I would get tired of playing with myself. No, I like this as the beatdown cleric. There was beatdown clerics in the book beforehand, and the only really good one is Forge, and now there's another one, and it's ordered. And spoiler alert, so will Twilight be. But if you want to play a rough and tumble, I hit people with a mace cleric, this is a really aggressive way to do it.
Sure. And that's fitting.
And to add to the this is the cop cleric idea. Again, looking back at the art, look at the weapon that Dragonborn
it's a baton. Is holding.
Yeah, that's a nightstick.
It's the shape of a T. It's literally made for puncturing skulls.
Is that a thing? I don't know this weapon. That's not familiar to me.
I was going to say, but it's not like a sword. At a glance, it looks like, oh, that's a sword. And you're like, no, it's actually blunt and crossed, and it's long and skinny and gets a little thicker at the ends. Like, yeah, that's a nightstick.
But for murder. Yeah. A murder stick. Yeah, these are real maces. I've seen there's like a museum of maces with ridiculous blunt instruments that people used to crack their heads open with.
That sounds like it's at the art museum. I gotta go check that out again.
The Cleveland.
I hate art museums. I love weapon museums. Swords are so much cooler than paintings.
Well, luckily they're both in the same building.
Yep.
All right. Well, then let's go ahead and, I don't have a good segue, so no good segue this time, but I gotta talk about one of our lovely affiliates. Let's go with,
Metallic
Dice Games, always a good one to go with because they got the dice that you crave, the dice that you need, and dice accessories. So, you know, places to roll them, dice bags, cool things like that. MetallicDiceGames.com. And you can get yourself 10% off your order using the code MM10, which stacks with any deals they might have as well. So get yourself some cool dice, help out the show a little bit, and if you want to help out the show in some other ways, I got some ideas for you. You can go to monstersofmulticlass.com/support and see all different sorts of ways, like joining our Patreon, finding some of our other affiliates, or just leaving a review, because that's always super helpful. So, with that, make sure to like the video if you're watching it, or leave a review if you're watching or listening to a podcast, and subscribe and ring the bell and leave a comment and yell at us on the internet nicely.
Are we done?
I hope so.
Okay. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, that is nicely.